Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
It's all about want to.
Oh my goodness, it's hot!
Need to have.
DeAndre Hopkins caught it!
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
The only person I saw down there was hot.
Live from The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I'm telling you, when Tua gets done with the Chargers and the Broncos and the Jets, and he's 5-0, and everybody's paying much more attention now than before, I'm telling you.
Today's guests, host of Pro Football Talk on Peacock and NBCSN, Mike Florio, plus ESPN NBA insider Ramona Shelburne. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show on the air here on a busy Monday as the Masters completed action with Dustin Johnson slipping on that green jacket over the weekend. College football with a lot of action that I turned off at halftime. In one particular instance, we'll be discussing that over the next couple of hours on this show.
Shut off at halftime.
I stuck with it.
Wow, good job. Like pain.
Oh, well, my youngest Coop is like, Dad, why aren't we watching the game? And I'm like, oh gosh, sit down. Let me tell you a story, Coop.
How much time?
Oh, boy. Ramona Shelburne is going to be joining us in hour number three. It's NBA draft week. Jay Billis will be joining us on Wednesday to set up the draft, as well as break down which fictional movie basketball character, as well as TV. I think we might include The White Shadow in it as well. It deserves to be a lottery pick in the NBA draft. Our poll question, Chris, ask it at the top of hour number two before we get to our esteemed guest. What do you have over there, Chris?
All right. Looking at the second place teams in the AFC, which has the best chance?
All 6-3.
All 6-3. Which has the best chance to go to the Super Bowl, to win the division, to win the conference? Dolphins, yes. Ravens, Titans, Raiders.
Where do things stand after 1 hour of Rich Eisen Show viewers and consumers and listeners?
What's funny is that is the current order as well. Dolphins, 35%. Ravens, 29%. Titans, 24%. Raiders, 13%.
I mean, CBS has a Super Bowl this year? Do they have this Super Bowl this year? Okay. Do you think they're on their hands and knees hoping Tua makes it if it's not the Chiefs or the Steelers? Could you imagine if Tua makes the Super Bowl? Please.
How about Dolphins Cardinals?
Oh, my gosh.
Let's go.
That'd be remarkable.
That would be amazing.
I'll give my 2 cents on that. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll take your phone call. Stay right where you are. I enjoy being on his show, PFTPM, on Friday, completing the home-and-home, and he's been kind enough to call in multiple times during this NFL season and answered my request to call in today. Once again, from Pro Football Talk, PFT Live, PFTPM, Mike Florio. How are you, Mike?
Rich, I'm doing great today. How are you, buddy?
How about that? I mean, where were you? You're watching the games. We're at home, getting ready to go on Sunday Night Football. I mean, when that catch and that Hail Mary went down,
we're on the air. Oh. And I'll peel back the curtain a little bit. You
Please.
Know how this goes.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys aren't on during games, so maybe you don't know how this goes. We're on air.
Oh, sure.
And I've got all my segments mapped out about when I'm going to be on, and I've got a monitor off to the side of the main return that's right under the camera, and on the monitor to the side is all the ongoing games. And I'm keeping a close eye on Cardinals-Bills, but you can't focus on it because you never know when you're actually going to be on the air. I mean, you do kind of know, but you don't want to get lost in the moment and forget.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, you're shouting an expletive at a moment where, you know, they've come to you on TV. So I just was kind of periodically looking up, and it's like, oh, okay, it looks like the Cardinals are going to win. And then you look up a little bit later, it's like, oh, now the Bills are driving. And you go about your business, getting your notes together, your information for what you're going to say when you're on the air. And then it's like, oh crap, the Bills scored. Well, that's it. The Bills won. And I had a few more of those quick checks. And I finally look up and I see DeAndre Hopkins with the ball in the end zone.
Yeah,
I'm like, please,
right.
That didn't happen. And then it was a mad scramble after that. I had to get Kyler Murray on the phone, even though we weren't able to get him. You know, during the show, since we're off at 8:20 Eastern,
right?
I had to talk to him about that play. It was just amazing, and you know. And in hindsight, the perfect quarterback to run around and buy time to launch the throw from center field to home plate, given that he was a top 10 pick as a center fielder coming out of college.
Nice.
If he had wanted to play for the A's,
nice.
And the perfect guy to jump up and catch it. That's the new template for a Hail Mary. All you need is those two guys, and you can make it work.
And then just the significance. I mean, they're in first place. The Dolphins are now a half game behind the Bills. I mean, that was a – and the Packers are now the one seed because there's no three-way tie, you know, because of what happened with Seattle and the Rams. I mean, there's quite a bit that this might linger. That throw could actually linger, you know.
Oh, and of all teams, the Packers, who have no home field advantage this year, who cannot start the lawnmower at Lambeau Field without fans there.
Right.
Three out of the four games they've played at Lambeau Field this year, sluggish. Now, it's only bit them once against Minnesota, and they really weren't sluggish. They were going back and forth, but Aaron Rodgers said afterward, we didn't have energy today. Well, they don't have energy because that place is empty. They're used to the go pack, go chant. It's so weird to hear bang on the drum all day being played when no one's there. The Lambeau leap into a void of nothing. Or the attempted Lambeau leap by Aaron Rodgers.
I saw that.
After he scored. Yes. And they may end up with a home field advantage in the playoffs. In the one year where it doesn't matter, they may have it.
Unbelievable. Mike Florio here on the Rich Eisen Show. How'd you find Murray? I mean, he it was last week where he was just despondent, saying, you know, they laid an egg. And now just there they are a week later, 3 days now removed from kicking off week 11 in a monster game against Seattle. What do you think of Murray, and how'd you find him yesterday?
Oh, I've got a clear bias. I really, truly love Kyler Murray. And I remember when he was making the rounds before Super Bowl 53, and he hadn't decided what he was going to do yet, and he's young. And look, your kids are a lot younger than my son, who's 24 now.
Mm-hmm.
As your children get older, you really start to see them in the guys who are entering the NFL, that it's easier to understand what they're going through and how hard all of this must be. And Kyler Murray's personality is not the same as other quarterbacks. He's not the gregarious personality. He's not outgoing. He's reluctant. He's shy. Nothing wrong with that. That's how some people are. So you kind of got to draw it out of him a little bit. And to me, it's an appealing quality because I know how hard it is to have to interact with people when you just rather, you know, go home and play video games and not do it. But, you know, he's got a passion burning in him for football. I think he's every bit as good as he thought he was going to be. The fact that people doubted him because of his size only made that passion stronger. And he told me, even though he had never connected on a Hail Mary pass at any level of football, when he let go of it, he knew it. It had a chance. He said, when you're a quarterback and you let go of the ball, you know it has a chance. And even though he was facing the sideline when he let go and landed looking at his teammates, not at the end zone, he knew when he let it go it had a chance. It helped that it was Hopkins, but he knew it had a chance.
So, again, my kids are 12, 9, and 7, so I'll ask you this question. Which will I have a more difficulty explaining to my children about 10 years from now? One, that there was a legitimate question whether Kyler Murray made the right choice choosing football, or two, DeAndre Hopkins was acquired for something other than a first-round draft choice. Which one would be more difficult for me to explain to my children, Mike?
Not just something other than a first-round draft pick, but the Cardinals were – you know how they do the – I don't know if they do this where you live, but like – once or twice a year, you can put out any garbage that you really don't want, but you don't know how else to get rid of it. So you put it out, and they come take it. And there's somebody inevitably who's riding around in a truck that starts picking through and taking the stuff. That's what David Johnson was, all due respect, in this deal. He was the guy that the Cardinals could not get rid of with a $10 million guaranteed salary this year. The idea that they actually got value for David Johnson is jarring. I thought they were going to have to do a Brock Osweiler hot potato trade where they send Johnson to someone and throw in a third-round pick. So that makes it even more amazing to give up a second-round pick and unload a guy that you were dying to get rid of. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And look, I understand in theory why the Texans did it, but that's the thing to remember. You trade away a player like that, even though it solves your short-term headache that you otherwise don't know how to solve, and I think this is one of the problems of having both the coach and the GM wear the same hat because you don't have a strong second voice who can push back, and the Texans did not have a strong second voice who could push back on Billy O when he decided to do this. That guy's going to still continue to play in the NFL. He's going to go elsewhere, and it may sting you every time he does something great That's just going to be the knife twisting in whatever bad day you had. And that was the double loss yesterday for the Texans, to lose to Cleveland and then see that happen at the end of the day.
Yeah, where they're so points challenged against Cleveland in that game. And, you know, but before moving on, honestly, the theory, again, that I heard about the reason why DeAndre had to go is because they just didn't want to redo his contract with that much more remaining, despite his remarkable talent and his 27-year-old birth certificate, right? He's just only 27. But I still don't understand even how they couldn't even tell Steve Keim, look, we're taking David Johnson off your hands. You have to give us a one. I mean, I can get a one just hanging up the phone from anybody else. How could you not even bluff in that regard? I can't fathom it that he wasn't even acquired for a one in that trade.
And this idea, Rich, that, well, we have his contractual rights for X number of additional years, and I think it was 3 more years, and we have a policy of not redoing. Yeah. Well, you know what? Screw your policy. This is how you end up getting yourself into a jam.
Yeah.
This is the Eagles and Terrell Owens, not quite to the same extreme.
Right.
But that attitude that teams want to wave around, well, we have a contract. Well, you know what? You got an unhappy player, too. And it's not enough to just have a piece of paper. You got to have a guy who wants to be with you. You got to have a guy who feels like he's being treated fairly. And when Julio Jones gets to $22 million a year, and you have a guy who signed his contract several years ago at a time when the market was different, you better be ready to adjust it or face the consequences of a guy who's no longer happy, and you're going to have to do something about it, and then you're not going to have the player. You have to choose what to do. And this idea that we refused to redo the contract because he had X number of years left is just silly. Now, I think there was there's some personal feeling that comes into it. Bill O'Brien, an emotional guy, that's why it's critical to not thrust that guy into the role of GM. You need someone there who's the opposite of him personality-wise, who can say, Bill, look, yeah, I understand what you're saying, but we can't do this. We got to pay this guy and keep him around. We have to think of what's going to happen. We know how good he is. You think of what's going to happen if we trade him to another team, what we're not going to have, and what that new team is going to have. And that's why it's so, so critical to have a strong voice that can always push back against the impulses of the guy who's otherwise in charge.
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talks. Mike Florio here on the Rich Eisen Show. How significant is Drew Brees' injury, do you think?
Well, I think it's injuries, which they really don't want to admit at this point. But Drew said last night to reporters after the win that he could only play in half of, that it's an accumulative thing. He had the shoulder. He's been limited in practice for the past couple of weeks. Now he's got, the team called it ribs. Your colleagues Ian Rappaport and Tom Pelissero, I believe, reported it's a rib contusion. They're going to do an MRI to see where the cartilage damage is. And see, that's the thing. You can have ribs that aren't broken, but the cartilage between the ribs can get bruised, and it hurts just as bad as having broken ribs. The good news is you don't have to worry about the rib breaking off inside of your rib cage and damaging organs, but it still is extremely, incredibly painful. And they're bracing for him to miss time. So it almost feels like Peyton Manning 2015, where he was so banged up in various ways, they eventually just had to shut him down for a while and let him get healthy. I feel like Drew's got multiple things going on, and the only way they're going to get him anywhere close to 100% for the playoff run is to give him a few weeks off.
And so is it Jameis time, right? Last year, I remember we were having this conversation with Teddy Bridgewater, maybe Taysom Hill, and we hardly saw him. It was Teddy's gig. So this is Jameis's gig, right?
Well, I don't know, because every year teams put out depth charts, and they bend over backwards to tell us, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. The depth chart means nothing. But still, if you go to NewOrleansSaints.com right now, if you had gone last year after Drew Brees suffered his injury week 2 against the Rams, pulled up the depth chart, doesn't mean anything, but it's still there on the website. Drew Brees 1, Teddy Bridgewater 2, Taysom Hill 3. So next man up. This year, if you go right now, NewOrleansSaints.com, click on the depth chart. Unless they've changed it since 9 o'clock Eastern time this morning, Drew Brees 1, Taysom Hill 2, Jameis Winston 3. So if you go next man up, it's Taysom Hill. Now yesterday, see, you've already got your game plan in. You've got your Taysom Hill package in. So he's prepared to be the jack of all trades, not the backup quarterback for the game. Now the question is, going forward, do you prepare Taysom Hill to be the starting quarterback, the backup quarterback, or the jack of all trades, knowing that you won't have anyone ready to be the backup quarterback? Last year, when Teddy Bridgewater was in for five games, we saw far less Taysom Hill because he was preparing every week to be the backup quarterback. That's the philosophical decision that Sean Payton is going to have to make quickly if they're not going to have Breeze. Who's my one and who's my two? But if we truly go by the depth chart that they always say is unofficial, Taysom Hill should be the guy. So it's going to be a fascinating decision because most people are assuming Jameis, but I think there's a chance it's going to be Taysom. And if I'm the Saints, I want to know what the hell the guy can do. If he's possibly my quarterback next year, if Drew Brees retires, I got to know what this guy can do as a quarterback. No, now to find out.
By the way, Saints.com, that is exactly what it says. I looked that up while you were delivering your information there in this conversation, Mike Florio. It is Taysom Hill 2, Jameis Winston 3, and I am now hitting the word allow for latest news and updates to be sent as a notification in case that changes. I mean, that is the way it is, and the Saints are taking on Atlanta this week. That'll be, as you know, that's no gimme. We know Atlanta has definitely been coming on strong of late. Ask the poll question of Mike Florio. Chris Brockman, go for it. Ask him the question.
Yeah, Mike, you heard us at the top here. Which second-place AFC team best chance to reach Super Bowl? Dolphins, Ravens, Titans, Raiders.
What do you think?
Right now, Dolphins, because they've won five in a row, and they're flying under radar. This is the dynamic where we didn't anticipate Tua was going to be good, so we didn't give the Dolphins a lot of high-profile, big-platform games, so people aren't seeing Tua. Not that he's been Dan Marino right out of the gates. I mean, Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow arguably have been better passers, but there's just a magic to it. There's a quality to it, and the defense is good, and they're doing just enough. And, you know, the way they're trending, and I think Brian Flores learned a lot while being around Bill Belichick. And I think he's also managed not to try to be Bill Belichick. You know, you can only get away with being Bill Belichick once you start accumulating rings. It doesn't work until you've proven yourself. And I think Flores, unlike so many of these other Belichick assistants who are around him for so long, they don't even realize how much they're acting like him. You can't be him until you prove yourself. And Flores has proven himself, and he'll be in a position, the way things are going, where he can be Bill Belichick sooner rather than later, because once you get a ring or close to it, then you can be that guy that flashes from time to time at press conferences and elsewhere.
And then Pittsburgh, you mentioned Burrow. There's the latest to come at the King and missed. I mean, Pittsburgh is going to be taking on Jacksonville this week, so it sure looks like Thanksgiving night on NBC, it's going to be an undefeated Pittsburgh team welcoming Baltimore in with a game against Washington right behind it. They got a shot here, Mike. I mean, let's be honest. I know we're all thinking about how flawed this team might be, but you got Jacksonville, you got that game at home against Baltimore, then Washington, a huge Sunday nighter. They could be undefeated going into that Sunday nighter against Buffalo in Western New York, week 14, at Cincinnati, a nice little 2004 quarterback reunion with Phillip Rivers, week 16, then at Cleveland. There's a shot here, don't you think?
Oh, there's definitely a shot. And if it was the Patriots at this point at 9-0 with that same schedule left, that would be the top story on every show, radio, TV, and elsewhere. Can the Patriots go 16-0? I don't know why people aren't getting behind the idea of the Steelers going 16-0. I don't get it. I think part of it is so many of their wins feel like they happen, you know, too close for call, just like the Cowboys game last week. But then they get a Bengals team that had 2 weeks to get ready, and Ben Roethlisberger misses practice all week on the COVID-19 reserve list. He has knees injury, not knee.
Right.
I thought they were ripe to be upset. I just felt like it was time for them to pick up an L. And that, if they beat the Jaguars on Sunday, regardless of what happens between Baltimore and Tennessee, next Thursday night, that's it if they win. Division's over. And it may already be over as a practical matter, but that division's going to be done before December. One of the more competitive divisions in football is going to be decided if the Steelers pick up the sweep and give the Ravens loss number 4 while the Steelers have none with what, 5 games left? So 4 games left maybe, but I think that they have a chance. And it's amazing they've never been 9-0 with all those great Steelers teams of the past. And I think, Rich, my theory on the Steelers is the fact that they didn't throw in the towel last year when Ben Roethlisberger got hurt, and Mike Tomlin coached them up week in and week out to fight and scratch and claw and push and push and push and almost make it to the playoffs. I think that baked something into a lot of those guys. And now this year they've got that same mindset, but they have a much better team since Roethlisberger's back.
Mike, appreciate the time. I enjoyed our chat on your show Friday. Appreciate your visits to this one. We'll hopefully do it again real soon. Thanks again.
Anytime, Rich. Good talking to you,
pal. Right back at you. That's Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk Live, to kick everything off on NBC Sports on Peacock, PFTPM, to wrap it up every day. And we're right there in the middle. Great stuff with Mike Florio right there. I think it'll be Jameis, though. I think they're going to run it back just like last year. It'll be Jameis, and Taysom will still be the kind of Swiss Army knife right there. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Your phone calls and also overreaction Monday. And a Woj bomb went off in the middle of that conversation.
Here we go.
Oh, my gosh. State Farm commercials need to be redone, apparently.
Support for this podcast comes from Pluto TV. Ready to get away from it all? Free yourself with Pluto TV. Stream hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and shows all for free. Yeah, free. No contracts, no subscriptions, no fees. Imagine 24/7 channels of Narcos, CSI, Star Trek, Survivor, and everything else from hit movies to binge-worthy TV shows, the latest news, live sports, comedy, and more. What are you waiting for? Download the free Pluto TV app for Android or iPhone and start watching now. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.
844-204-RICH. Phone lines are lit. Always love seeing that. We'll take your phone calls literally in a matter of seconds. Chris Brockman, you've got a news update on the Woj bomb, and then we'll take the calls. Then we will do some overreaction Monday. How does that sound?
I love it.
And then later on this hour, the new exhibit at the Pro Football Hall of Fame deserves some a spotlight. We shall shine it on it.
I'm dying to hear this.
It's pretty cool, man. It is really cool, and I love it. I just love who thinks of these things over there. I'm assuming it's Joe Horgan's not the VP of exhibits there anymore, but it's dynamite. We'll talk about it later on in the show. Our poll question, as much as I love Tua, I don't get it, but that's okay.
You don't get what exactly?
That Tua's running away with it right now? That the Dolphins are running away with it?
Well, I mean, like Mike said, won 5 in a row.
We'll be hitting that in a second. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show with our radio audience rejoining us. The Woj bomb, Christopher. It went off during the Mike Florio conversation. What do we have over there? What is Adrian Wojnarowski reporting?
NBA teams eligible to begin making trades about an hour and a half ago. And one has been made. Oklahoma City sends Chris Paul and Abdir Nader to the Suns for Kelly Oubre, Ricky Rubio, Ty Jerome, Jalen Lecque, and a 2022 first-round pick.
Ah.
Obviously the big name here, Chris Paul to the Phoenix Suns.
Chris Paul and Devin Booker in the same backcourt.
I like it. Phoenix now a hot, trendy team to make the playoffs next year in the West.
So you got Ayton in the blocks, and these guys patrolling the perimeter.
Two killers on the outside, Booker and Paul.
Yeah, you know what? It'll be fun to watch the Phoenix Suns.
Totally.
We going high register because Anthony Davis is not going anywhere, right? He's not going anywhere, right? He's not going anywhere. There's no way. What is he? He's going to go back to Chicago and leave LeBron in a lurch? Is that what's going to happen?
Rich.
Clutch Sports is not going to make this all work?
I hear the Brinks truck backing out a couple
down
blocks.
The street,
right?
Down the street.
Yeah, leaving right now. I hear the backup.
Yeah, the Lakers are truly around the corner from us here.
They're not. They're right here.
So, Rich Paul, he's going to tell Rich Paul to tell the Lakers we're done here without LeBron calling Rich Paul. I mean, come on. It's Clutch Sports. It's all one happy family.
We'll see.
Okay. That's why we got Ramona Shelburne coming up in hour number 3.
Anthony Davis doesn't need the Lakers.
He might want to be his own guy.
Why doesn't he need the Lakers?
I said that higher register.
Well, we're going to get to this in overreaction Monday.
All right.
I have this as a topic.
Let's take some phone calls. Michael in Philadelphia has been waiting some time, and there's two words that was the description that Adam, our call screener, placed into what Michael in Philadelphia wants to bring to the program. What's up, Michael?
Hey, Rich, how are you, bud?
Thanks for calling.
Listen.
Yes.
I'm your typical Eagles fan.
Yep.
I love you when you're doing good, and I hate you when you're doing bad. Mm-hmm. And right now, I wouldn't pay Carson Wentz to throw balls to my dog. He is absolutely horrible. Coaching hasn't helped. But even when McNabb was doing bad, we sat him down for a game. At least sit him down for a game or two, let Hurts play, and see what happens. Nobody's even considering that.
Well, because I can't even imagine Wentz being a backup there, Michael. That's the problem. I mean, he's been re-signed, and he has got to – I mean, and the cap's only going to, you know, contract over the next couple of years, which nobody took into account because of COVID. This has to work. This has to work. You know what I mean?
Like, one game. It's not going to work. He's not better at all. He's getting worse. Mm-hmm. So a game or two – not get rid of him. A game or two – let him think about what he's doing and see what happens. We did it with McNabb, and it turned out wonderful. We stayed in the championship game for the next 14 years. You know what I mean? It's worth a shot.
Or how about this? You rename your dog Alshon and give that a shot.
I renamed it Agron because he's doing great someplace else. Everybody does great when they leave us.
You're still in first place. How does that sound? I know you're not. It is tough to watch, though, man. It is tough to watch. There's no two ways about it.
My only other team is Michigan, and I feel so bad for you because there's guys on the NFL Network are busting your you know what.
Yes, they are. Thank you. Yes.
I love those guys, but you need to put them in their place, bud.
I'm trying my best, but I don't have much of a leg to stand on. Thanks for the call. Appreciate that.
Oh, no.
Oh, they are, man.
Well,
they are, because you know how we had a stuffed animal, a lone wolf stuffed animal. They gave Michael a lone wolf stuffed animal because he was doing so well on Lone Wolves or whatever, just to, you know, shove it in my face because my trophy for winning the picks last year as a small little lone wolf, like literally it's as big as a bread box, not even small little bread box. And I got upset about that. So they gave him a big, huge lone wolf stuffed animal to shove it in my face. And then they turned that into Champ, the Dallas Cowboys emotional support dog for Michael. They actually got an actual emotional support leash for the dog for Michael.
Yeah, it's really weird.
So I got to my seat yesterday, and I saw this little cardboard box sitting next to me they had placed Puma, the great stage manager.
Puma.
He set it down there. I had no idea what it was there for, and I just paid him no mind because I had other things to do because I'm a professional to prepare for the show. So the show starts 6 a.m. Pacific time, getting things started, and Irv basically busted out Champ, and I'm like, well, I guess you still have your emotional support dog, just even though they're on a bye week. And he goes, well, you have a box next to you right there, and it's a little stuffed animal puppy with an apple in his mouth and a New York, an I Heart New York tag.
Amazing.
They called it Chump, the emotional support Jets dog for me. Chump the dog.
Oh, goodness.
So now I'm sitting on the set. I've got two choices here. One, which was my initial one, which was to be irate.
Right.
But Mooch already had the Snickers ready because they thought I was irate coming in because Michigan got its ass handed to it on Saturday night.
Putting it gently.
Okay. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to have fun with this because I'm not going to give everyone what they're looking for.
Right.
So I announced on the show, Chump was not his name. I was renaming the dog Trevor.
Oh, that's nice.
Trevor.
Positive spin.
Trevor, the emotion. Because he's also Golden Lox.
Of course.
The dog was Golden Lox.
That's nice.
But that's what Michael was just referring to there. The amount of grief and flack that I've taken. I got no leg to stand on. I got no leg to stand on.
Yeah, just don't hope you don't win one because Jacksonville is coming for you.
Let's go to Victor in Los Angeles. You're on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Victor?
Hey, good afternoon, Rich.
What's up, Victor?
It was a horrible weekend for the Harbaugh brothers. So
I know,
but I'm gonna say this. I want to give a shout out to my boys. You know, they're listening to me right now, so I want to give a shout out to my boys. But look, with Lamar Jackson, there's always going to be a chance, no matter what. Injuries is affecting his team. You know, Jason last week was on point, but this team can still get hot. I see this team going 11-5
and
making some damage in the playoffs. The next week, they got the Steelers, they got the Tennessee Titans, and they got the Tennessee Titans coming up. So that's crucial. If they can at least split one of those games and try to split, get everybody healthy, get Calais Campbell, get Brandon Williams, yeah, and get everybody healthy, they're in there.
You kind of went a little higher register on me right there, but I understand what you're saying, Victor, and I appreciate the call. I mean, just again, the Ravens schedule, they're home for Tennessee, coming off of the mini bye, and Tennessee can put up points. If they fall down, I mean, here comes Derrick Henry at them. Yeah. And as we know, Derrick Henry's the one who eliminated them last year, and they were hitting their defensive line to prepare for Derrick Henry, and the defensive line is banged up. There is no Calais Campbell there, potentially. And then there's that Thanksgiving night game. Does Pittsburgh want to lay it on them or what?
What a great game.
They want to lay it on them. And then Dallas is a Thursday night game because Dallas, as we know, plays the Thanksgiving before. That's a regular game of rest. Regular week of rest for two teams playing on the Thursday night game. They'll be fully rested for that one. Monday night are at Cleveland, home for Jacksonville. Who knows the Giants, the way that they're playing. And then at Cincinnati, they can finish up strong and then take some momentum into the postseason. But it will be on the road. It will not be at home. They're going to lose this division the way that things are shaping up right now. And they will have to go on the road. And Lamar will have to go into a place like, say, Indianapolis again and win, or a place like, say, Buffalo or Miami. Could you imagine it's Lamar at Tua? Could you imagine if that's the playoff game?
Well,
Lamar at Tua?
Right now, the Ravens are the seventh seed, and they would go to Kansas City.
Oh, boy. I mean, and that's their nemesis. That's their nemesis.
Ooh, baby.
I don't know, man. And you know, I chose the Ravens to win the entire AFC.
Yeah.
I haven't put my thumb on the scale yet, but I won't for the moment. Let's do some overreaction Monday and take some more phone calls right here on the Rich Eisen Show. It's a busy day. There's you've made some hints that you've put some NBA in this as well.
Oh, we cross sports.
Oh boy, we're crossing the streams
like
a Ghostbusters version of Overreaction Monday.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage. This place sucks.
Overreaction Monday.
What do you have over there, Chris?
You mentioned it off the top of the show, Rich, but let's just bring it right back. That's how amazing it was. The Hail Murray has dethroned DK for Play of the Year.
No, there's no doubt about it. That's one of the greatest things I've ever seen. And obviously, the fact that I needed it in both fantasy leagues was amazing. I know people, Billy Gardell tweeted at me that he lost his fantasy league.
Because of that?
Oh, yeah. Oh. Well, I mean, you've got two of the most owned fantasy players in terms of Kyler and DeAndre, who are either going against you or for you. And just, again, the fact that the Cardinals were about to lose their, you know, second consecutive game. They're in first place, and the Bills could have been an 8-win team going into their bye week, and instead they're just a half game in front of a hot Miami Dolphins team. So it's not just, and it's also a matchup that, unfortunately, like Tua versus Kyler Murray, we will not see Josh Allen versus Kyler Murray for another 4 years.
Oh,
I know, man. Game. But we do get to see Kyler Murray versus Russell Wilson twice a year, including just 3 days from now. So it's a big game for both teams. There are dynamite players that are interesting and fascinating figures in the NFL converging together. Yeah, no doubt that is spot on.
That play also pushed it to the over, so congrats to everyone there.
Oh, got it.
Next, behind Tua, the Dolphins are going to win the AFC East.
Boy. You know how I feel about them, and I think that's kind of spot on. I don't think it's an overreaction. I don't know if it's going to be accurate when it's all said and done. As you know, I have predicted game 256. Everyone on NBC should get ready to visit Western New York in a very, very cold, wintry third day of the new year. That reeks of winner wins the division, loser goes to someplace like Indianapolis or someplace like you know, it won't be Pittsburgh, obviously. Could be even Kansas City. You don't know. I don't know. But probably Indianapolis. I mean, that's the way it'll probably go. As you know, I think it's Dolphins versus Bills. Maybe they win that one. Exciting. It's exciting.
Yeah, sign me up. Sign me up.
I don't think it's an overreaction. That's what I'm saying.
Got it. Russell Wilson, MVP for the first part of the year, but he has now played himself out of the MVP race.
Yeah, man. You have to look at players on teams that are in front of the Seahawks right now.
Yeah.
You have to look at Green Bay. You have to start talking about Ben Roethlisberger. Ben Roethlisberger may be undefeated going into December. How in the hell is he not even going to be in the conversation? Kyler Murray could potentially knock Russ out of the mix with a third straight loss in a week and a half.
Yeah.
Sweeping the season series? I mean, that's possibility. So right now, again, it may not be accurate, but it's spot on. I don't think that's an overreaction at all.
All right, next, let's go to the NFC East. No, I don't know if many people saw this coming. The Giants take out the Eagles. He's not Danny Dimes. He's Danny Wheels. And the Giants are going to win the NFC East.
I'm not going there. You hear Joe Judge saying, don't even bring up the records to me. They're irrelevant. We need to be 1-0 each week. He's just totally focused on that. I don't know, man. I just don't.
This guy's running all over the place.
He is. The Giants have a shot. They're the only other three-win team in division. They're a game and a half behind Philadelphia. Oh, if Evan Ingram had caught that ball,
man,
they'd be in first place.
Everything's different.
I know. The Eagles would be 2-6-1, and the Giants would be 4-5. They'd be 4-6. Pardon me. Come on now. That's it. That's the difference.
They still got a shot, though.
They're a game out, I guess. There you go. So, again, I guess it's not an overreaction. It may not be accurate. You got a lot of inaccurate statements that are in the realm. They're not overreactions.
Sniffing it.
What else you got over there?
All right. 2 10-win AFC teams are going to miss the playoffs. Not just one.
No.
2 10-win teams.
No.
Are going to miss the playoffs in the AFC.
Don, would you mind putting the AFC playoff picture up so I can kind of grasp what you're saying here? What you're saying is you've got the Browns who are on the outside looking in at 5-3, at 6-3, and the Titans are too, and then both of them are going to wind up at 10-6.
There's six and three teams.
I know, but there's going to be enough teams that have to play one another. We already know that the Ravens and Colts are playing each other. The Ravens and Browns play each other. The Titans and Colts play one more time. It's the Raiders who have a ton of the Raiders have already beaten the Browns. The Raiders have tie breaks, man. The Raiders have tie breaks all over the place. So, no, I'll say that's an overreaction.
You mentioned the Raiders. They have tie breaks over Tennessee, Miami, and Baltimore.
Yeah, man.
Based on conference win percentage. So the Raiders are getting in.
But they're straight up, though, they've already beaten Cleveland. And they do not play, they do play Miami in week 16. How about that one? How about that one? That's going to be oh my gosh. Miami finishes up against the Raiders and then Buffalo.
Ooh, that's a tough finish.
And New England before that. And Kansas City before that.
Ooh,
I told you to buckle in for the Tua ride. I told everybody to do that.
That is a tough finish.
The minute they went to him in that bye week, week 7, I said, buckle up. Week 7, I said, buckle up. And I am going to be Nostra friggin' Damus. I already am.
Whoa.
Is that an overreaction?
I'm
overreacting to your overreaction.
All right, I'm thinking about this. I was watching the Bucks play yesterday. Ronald Jones is the key to the Bucs Super Bowl run, not the wide receivers.
That's interesting. Yeah, man. I mean, Ronald Jones had 93 more rushing yards in that one run yesterday than he did the entire team had against the Saints.
Right.
That's an interesting one. Yeah, that's a...
We look at the Bucs and we think about, got Mike Evans and Antonio Brown and Chris Godwin and Gronk.
That's great if Brady is held. It doesn't have to throw it more than 25, 30 times.
Now it's Ronald Jones. This guy's the key. He's really coming into his own.
Look at you. Look at you being like smart football.
I was feeling good last night.
Okay, very good.
All right.
An intelligent in Overreaction Monday, Chris.
That's a good point. How about this one? This one, though. How about this for you? The Rams are the best team in the league's best division.
That's not an overreaction. I said that in hour number one. Why is everybody overlooking the Los Angeles Rams? Just because you're not, if you're going to list off the top 10 quarterbacks in the league that you would take to win a game, you don't mention Jared Goff. Just because you don't mention any of their running backs in the top 10 running backs or any of their wide receivers in top 10 wide receivers. You want to talk about top three defensive players? You're mentioning Aaron Donald. You want to open it up top five? You might have mentioned Donald and Jalen Ramsey. I told you, this is Aaron Donald's team. It's Aaron Donald's team, and he's one of the best players in the league. He might be Defensive Player of the Year again. So, yes, the Rams just...
Better than the Cardinals and Seahawks.
We will see as the Rams, as I have it right here. I love this little list that I've got. They play the Arizona Cardinals twice in the final 5 weeks. Twice.
Okay, we'll find out.
And this team, as you know, that's been flying all over the map. Yeah. To Buffalo, to Miami, to... They went to Philadelphia, to Buffalo, to Washington, to Miami. Okay, the Rams now, after taking on... they just took on Seattle. They have to go to Tampa, right? They have to go to Tampa. What a Monday night game that is. East that they go is Arizona. They go at Arizona. They're home for New England, home for the Jets, at Seattle, home for Arizona. So, and in terms of what they've done going cross country, they won at Philadelphia, they won at Washington, and they lost two games as well at Washington, at Miami, and then that one at Buffalo that they had all wrapped up until that awful call at the end. You got the NBA one?
Yeah, I got two NBA ones.
All right. I don't know what I don't know if we can play NFL Films music for it, but okay.
The Nets are going to challenge the Warriors' 73-win record if they get James Harden.
No, that's an overreaction. That's absurd. That's absurd. Durant and Kyrie haven't played together outside of an All-Star game.
Players.
I got it, but you still have to figure it out. And they're not going to. And unfortunately, they're not going to play 80. Two games.
Yeah, that was the thing
ain't
I was going to add
either. So, what else?
All right,
I like your moxie.
This
right
one's
there.
Even spicier. LeBron Anthony Davis is going to opt out. Right?
I'd love to the NFL Films. Don't you take it off, Mike?
Anthony Davis.
You can't play. Don't play. Don't play John Tesh because
no.
Then we'll get ripped on Parler, and we don't want that.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Anthony Davis is going to opt out of his Lakers deal, right? We don't know what's going to happen. Probably going to re-sign, but maybe not.
Uh-huh.
LeBron James needs Anthony Davis more than AD needs the Lakers.
That is red hot.
I agree.
That is red hot. I might have to put on oven mitts to handle this one.
Nope.
I think you're on. I think you're spot on.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Turn it over.
Hibachi.
Oh yeah. But if you're Anthony Davis, why not just play for the next couple of years? Why don't you play out LeBron's string with him?
Yeah, and see how many you can win.
Of course.
Yeah, I totally get it.
And then the Lakers are your team, and then you run the show like LeBron.
But you don't need to be here.
Well, where are you going to go? Chicago and start from scratch? Where are you going to go?
Miami.
That's not a bad one.
Last one.
Well, you know why he'll go to Miami? Because they haven't broken it up for Giannis.
For Giannis, right, exactly. Lastly, Bryson DeChambeau, a one major wonder.
Let's put that as an overreaction. That's a nice bonus one right at the end.
Well, bonus.
Yeah.
One major wonder.
Yeah. The DeChambeauizing Augusta is not the conversation, huh? They got a DJ-eyes it, right?
Didn't go well for Bryson.
Oh, my gosh. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, a new great exhibit at the Pro Football Hall of Fame on a spotlight, and then more of your phone calls at 844-204-RICH before Ramona Shelburne joins us here on the show.
Welcome to the MIP.
Yeah!
The Michael Irvin Podcast.
You knew this was coming.
Guess who?
Let me start this thing off. Join me every week for the Michael Irvin Podcast. We'll give you the full MIP experience. I'm talking everything from football to fashion. I will be chopping it up with playmakers, headline makers, and I am throwing haymakers. I'm the MVP of the MIP. Don't miss it.
Download new episodes of the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast, every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.
Everybody, the Rich Eisen Show store is open. Go to richeisenstore.com. Be the first on your block with one of these babies. T-shirts, both long and, of course, short sleeve and white or heather gray. We've got hats, hats, people. And, of course, start your day with a cup of Joe and a Rich Eisen Show coffee mug. Go to richeisenstore.com and shop your head off right now. richeisenstore.com. Please go there. This mug right here. See, it's huge, by the way. It's not a little mug. We don't do little mugs here.
No.
We're a big mug household.
Big mug.
Okay. Whatever. And I made sure that the Rich Eisen Show logos on both sides, so it's right-handed and left-handed.
Oh, that's huge.
You can go either way. You know what I mean?
That's attention to detail, right?
It is. Man. It is. You don't want to just basically say, okay, here's again, Larry did the same thing. We just don't have the self warmer at the bottom.
Big mug operation.
You know what I'm saying?
I've got so many fantasy team names written down.
It was a big mug operation.
Oh, my gosh.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show with our radio network. All together. 844-204-RICH. Number to dial right here on the show. Before we take a phone call. The Kansas City Chiefs have been playing all year long without their Super Bowl champion right guard, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, who a couple of years ago, after he earned his medical degree from McGill University, he's Canadian, McGill University up in Montreal, he applied, if I'm not mistaken, to have his name on the jersey, Dr. Tardif, right? Dr. Duvernay-Tardif.
Yes.
The league basically said, hey, kudos to you for having a medical degree and doing that while also being a top-notch player for the Kansas City Chiefs. But, you know, even that we can't make an exception for. Then people start putting whatever they want on their, it's like it's you can't say it's a slippery slope to he hate me, but essentially the NFL said no to that.
Right.
But the reason why Laurent Duvernay-Tardif is not playing this year for the Chiefs, he opted out, not for fears of COVID-19, even though that is a viable and understandable concern. He wanted to stay home in Canada and work on the front lines in hospitals to fight the pandemic. He said, I'm not playing football because that the most important thing for me is to help save lives. So the Pro Football Hall of Fame this weekend unveiled a new exhibit in Canton, Ohio, and it is the PPE mask and lab coat and medical scrubs of Laurent Duvernay-Tardif.
Oh, wow, that's awesome.
So anybody who goes to the Pro Football Hall of Fame will know what Laurent Duvernay-Tardif is doing, decided to do, and this is up there for everybody to see, along with busts and rings and mementos of decades of this great sport. Well done, Pro Football Hall of Fame. Love it. Love it. So there's now a mask and PPE enshrined, and rightfully so. Well done. Wanted to bring that to everybody's attention. Let's go to Matt in Oklahoma, your Bills on the back end of this. I'm sorry, man. You must have been gutted.
Just call me heartbroken in Oklahoma. I'm telling you what. I haven't been this heartbroken since the forward ladder went January 2000.
Wow.
Here's the thing. I love Kyler Murray. He plays for my Sooners. I love the Sooners, so I wasn't hating on Kyler Murray. But because I live in Oklahoma, I can't get away from that play. It was an awesome catch, but they keep hammering me with it. And people keep tweeting it to me and messaging it to me and Facebooking it to me. Just, I know it was great, but leave me alone. I'm not happy. I mean, it was a great catch, but I don't even think a Rich Eisen bro hug would help me today, but I do have a good idea. You need to make a Rich Eisen Show bro hug shirt for the website.
Done for the Rich Eisen store.
Send one down here to Oklahoma because I need something, man. I need something. That me and my son were high fiving when that Diggs touchdown happened, and we were screaming. He was screaming, "Go Bills!"
Yes.
Broke his little heart. Broke my heart too.
So what should I say on the shirt? Who needs a bro hug? That's what it should say on the shirt. Is that what it should say?
Whatever you want. Okay. I tell you what. As soon as Murray threw that pass,
yeah.
I said two words, and they aren't family friendly.
Yes.
Because I knew he was down there. I knew it was going to happen, and it was in slow motion, and we're the Bills, and the football gods hate us. So just keep – now we can hear about this for another 10 years until another play happens.
No, come on. It's just a regular season game. It's not like the Music City Miracle.
That play will be everywhere for the next – for the rest of the year. And everybody that knows me, God, they keep texting me and showing me, oh, look at this play, pictures and pictures. Just leave me alone. It was great. But I don't need to see it in slow motion. I don't need to see it in black and white. Thanks, TJ. I don't need to see Brockman. Leave me. Just leave it alone.
Hang that picture in the Louvre, Matt.
Are you sure, Matt, that a bro hug will not help?
Yeah, you might need more, Matt.
All right, here we go.
I hugged my son this morning. It made me feel better.
Here we go. Of course. You're talking to a guy who's been throwing himself in the love and care of his family every single Michigan Wolverine game these days. So here we go.
My brother-in-law even called me last night. I knew what it was for, so I declined the call. I called him back this morning, and I said, go ahead and say it. I know he's a Cowboys fan. I guess, go ahead and say it. Let's get it out of the way. And then I called him some bad names.
Okay. Ready? Here we go. Arms to the back. We separate, and that's the bro hug.
Okay. I feel a little better. I won't cuss until I get off the phone now.
Thank you. Take care, Matt. There you go.
The shirt needs to be like you with your arms spread and then just tap, tap.
That's all it says. People might not understand what that means. But there, I think there's a bro hug shirt that's out
there's
there. We got to figure that out.
I have something in my head right now.
Okay, good.
There's something there.
Well, you just posted a meme of DeAndre Hopkins as Michael Jordan from The Last Dance that you just put at Rich Eisen's show that we'll bring to the people very shortly.
I'm proud of that.
To what you should be. Look, I mean, how did he catch this?
I don't know.
Is his left hand not fully on it? Like, is he catching the ball with just two fingers in his left hand there?
That's what that picture looks like.
It doesn't help that Jordan Poyer, I think that's him, 21, is
just looking back.
Backwards.
Well, I mean, he tried to get it and knock it down.
Yeah.
Three guys.
That's ridiculous.
And look, I don't want to, you know, I'm not a math guy. I'm verbal, not with math. How does Next Gen Stats say that there was a 16.9% chance of that pass being completed?
Way too high.
I guess because it's DeAndre Hopkins.
Like a 1.6% chance.
I don't understand it. Well, there was like a 1% chance. I think it was last year's Sunday night game. No, it was a Thursday night game because Joe Buck had the call of Russ finding Lockett in the back of the end zone with, you know, with just a small postage stamp part of the end zone. Through a small postage stamp window, that was like a 2%. That was like a milk percent chance of being completed.
I remember that one
went 50 yards in the air. By the way, how about Florio? Good point. Like a center fielder. Throwing him out. He's like he threw somebody out at home plate from center field.
Rolling away from across his body, spinning around to get more. It was insane.
I mean, and that was a serious conversation at this, at that Super Bowl he was at in Atlanta. That's where he was, right? We were in Atlanta. He was in our studio and right around the corner from inside the NBA.
Oh yeah,
I'm not going to say we broke that news, but when he was on the show and he's throwing balls through our little thing,
yeah.
After we hit the commercial, Brockman goes, "Guess we know what he's going to do next year."
Yeah,
seven in a row, right out of the gate. Okay,
effortlessly. By the way,
and but the conversation was about, will he really go to football?
Well, we didn't have much conversation.
Like, he's too small. He's too this. He's too that.
Our conversation with Kyler Murray wasn't that.
He was very coy.
I know. And then he went down the hall to Dan and did that live.
Yeah, because ours was recorded.
Yeah, we didn't run it till later.
Right.
He's fun to watch.
Are you kidding me?
He's so fun.
He's dynamite to watch.
And I thank you because you pounded on his name and I picked him up in fantasy. And I've got that combo, and life is good.
That's great. If it only meant that my Jets would have more than zero wins and Michigan would have more than one. But it doesn't. It doesn't. Ramona Shelburne of ESPN will be joining us. There's a lot going on. Chris Paul's going to be a Phoenix Sun. And where is Anthony Davis going? That's coming up. So there's that. You imagine saying, you know what, $29 million is not at all what I could be making. So I will say no to that and then figure out the next step. What a world.
I do that all the time.
Do you, Mike?
Yeah.
Wow.
Have you named your boat yet?
No.
When are you going to name your boat?
I don't know.
What's going to happen first? The election gets acknowledged by the White House or you name your boat? What happens first?
I bet you my boat will be named.
When are you planning on naming your boat?
within that, I got time. There is no guidelines to when you have to name a boat. Somebody goes, it's bad luck. I go, BS.
It is bad. Forrest Gump. It's bad luck to not have a name on your boat.
No, Forrest Gump.
Two pump chumps. Still could be tied.
No.
Two pump chumps.
Two Emmy champ, actually, for me, Rich. Six Emmy champ.
When I saw that the other day, it was about last month when somebody suggested that on Twitter.
Yeah, he's blocked. He's an idiot. Moron.
He wasn't calling you two pump chump.
Yes, he was.
Yes, he was.
Okay.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was. That's exactly what he was.
Of course he was.
Yes, he definitely was.
The guy that has 12 followers and like going to bust my nuts.
Ramona Shelburne will be joining us with the latest. NBA Draft Week is off and running.